The reading today is Luke 12, verses 13 to 21, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build a bigger one, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich in God." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege it is to be in your presence this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your reading. We thank you, Lord, it was your word. And we pray, Lord, now as we come to consider it, you would quieten our hearts, that the words we hear these next few moments will not be the word of man, but truly will be the word of God. And as a result, you alone have the honour. You alone might have the glory. We give you thanks. We give you praise now in Jesus' name. Amen. As Peter mentioned earlier on, the subject for this morning is the last in the series of Life is Too Short. And it's Life is Too Short to Miss Out on Eternity. And I thought particularly when I was given that subject of this passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 13, because it talks about someone who was foolish. Who was not rich towards God. I want to explore that a little bit this morning. You know, life is too short, really, isn't it, for everything? We want to fit everything into it. We can't seem to fit it in. And every day, we seem to have a different pull of direction. If you're in work, maybe there's a pull of work direction. If you're retired, there'll be other things where there's a pull to do things. There's family life. There's whatever it might be. And sometimes we come to the question now and again is, what is life truly all about? What do I do with my life? What's the important thing in my life? I haven't mentioned church. That comes into it as well, doesn't it? There are so many different things that come into our lives which have become priorities. And the question we have to ask ourselves this morning, I'm going to ask myself this morning, what is my priority? Am I being prepared for eternity? Because that's where I'm going to be heading one day, and we're all going to be heading one day. Or am I thinking about the life here and now, a temporal life, which actually is temporary by the word. It's passing. It will not last. Well, things of eternity will last forever. And that's why I thought about this particular passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. The man here was dependent upon the things of this life. Are we dependent upon the things of this life? Is that what our goal is? Or are we thinking about the things which actually will please God? Moving those work in our lives and having our lives dedicated to him each and every day. And this particular story that Jesus talks about here is quite relevant. He's in the middle of a sermon. He's actually speaking to his disciples before he gets interrupted. And he's speaking to his disciples about how they should follow him, how they should dedicate themselves to him and dedicate themselves to God. And then somebody comes in and interrupts that sermon and says, "Master," or "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Now, you think at that moment, Jesus might have been flustered. No, he wasn't. He kept on doing the right thing. He was not going to give a judgment on whether it was right or wrong to share the inheritance. What he was going to do was going to come to the heart of the matter. He was going to come to the moral judgment that was needed, that was there. You know, it's sad, isn't it, that through history, we hear families that are broken up over the distribution of assets. You know, a will has been done. And all of a sudden, it goes to court. Because somebody in the family doesn't like the outcome of it. They're not getting what they think is their just desserts. And families are broken apart because of that. I actually have a sad situation in my own family. I've told you before about one of my uncles who lived in Israel, who died a few years ago. Well, he had a brother, another uncle of mine. And there's also sisters. And over money, I believe that's what it is, there was a falling out back over 60 years ago, 70 years ago near enough. The two brothers never met one another again. Sad, isn't it? Because of falling out over something which is actually very small and insignificant in the terms of eternity. And so many families have had that type of problem, haven't they? Had that issue. And the man here has come to Jesus, and he's asked Jesus, and he said, please tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. What's Jesus' reaction? Man, who made me to be a judge or an arbiter between me and you, or between you? You see, he wasn't concerned about the actual issue that the man was bringing. He was concerned what was behind the matter. And what was behind the matter? Greed. He didn't condemn the man in some respects, but he realized that what was there was a problem of the heart. And often that's our problem, isn't it? It's a problem of the heart. What actually motivates us? What's behind it all when we say various things? What's behind this man's asking of Jesus, share the inheritance, get the man to share the inheritance with me? What he should have been asking is, change my heart. How often do we have a problem? What do we do when we have a problem? Come to God, often we pray to him and say, Lord, change the situation, change the problem. Sometimes it has to be this, Lord, change my heart. Change my heart so I can handle what the problem may be, so I can come through that particular problem. Because Jesus goes on to say this, watch out, be on your guard. Guard against all kinds of greed, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. That's the problem. He was thinking about his possessions. We're going to come a bit later to that as well. He was thinking about what he had. I had a definition of greed I had a look at the other day, and it says this. It's wanting more of what already have enough of. Greed. Wanting more of what we already have enough of. That was the man's problem. He already had a lot, but he wanted more. And he wanted more and more and more. You know, greed is something that seems to be, many years ago, there was a film, wasn't there? Was it The Wolf of Wall Street? And there was a phrase in that, greed is good. No, it's not. It's far from it. There is something that's wrong when have that. Because man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Man's real life is to do with our heart and our response to God and how we live for God and work with God day by day. Someone has once said, the one who has the most toys when they die is the one who's a success. No. Sadly, no. That doesn't mean it at all. So Jesus tells them a parable to make it clear what he's trying to get at. The man does not live by the abundance of his possessions. And there are certain things he says in now, four things I want to share with you this morning. And they're going to be fairly brief, I have to say that. First of all, God, you must give God the credit for what he has done. It says in verse 16, the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. The ground produced the crop. Yes, he was a hard-working farmer. He did all the right things as being a farmer. I'm not an agriculturist. Nor horticulturist. Those things go past me, I'm afraid. Market is quite good at those things, but I'm not so good at it. But I do know this, that there are certain things you have to do to make things grow. But you can't make it grow yourself. You can put all the right ingredients in place, but God is the one who makes it grow. God's the one who produces the ground that produces the good harvest. And this man hadn't thought about that. The man wasn't condemned for being rich. Please notice that. He didn't say he was wrong for being rich. What he did do, what he said he was wrong, was the way he looked at his riches, the way he thought about his riches, the way he held on to his riches. You know, the sad part about this part of the story is that this man thought of what he had, and he did not think about God at all. He did not come into the equation. God was not thought about whatsoever. Isn't that something, unfortunately, we see in our world today? Well, people do not think about God. Or if they do, they only want him when it comes to a crisis, when it comes to an emergency. But don't point the finger. What about us? Are we a bit like that sometimes? That we don't think about God? We come to a situation maybe and we have a problem. And then we'll come to God. Or we'll make our plans, we'll come to that a bit later on. And then we'll say, oh, maybe you ask God to bless us. Instead of going the other way around. What is it, God, you want us to do? This man had no thought of God. As a result of that, he was going to miss out on eternity. Because what he was thinking about was only about what's happening now, here and now. He'd forgotten about the hand of God that had produced everything. How often do we forget about the hand of God who gives us things day by day? As mentioned, I think, in prayer earlier on, great is God's faithfulness. How often do we forget how faithful God is? And we take things for granted. How often do we think more of ourselves than thinking about our God and what God wants us to do? Thinking about our plans rather than his plans. Because that's the next point I want to think about. We just make plans, but don't leave God out of it. Make certain God is in the center of the plans. Make certain God is in charge of the plans, that he directs the plans. You know, we read this, trust not in our own understanding, but in all our ways what? Acknowledge God. And he is the one who will direct our paths. He's the one who will make our paths straight. This man didn't think about that. He just thought about himself. What shall I do? I've no place to build, store all these crops I've got now, these great crops I've had, this great harvest I've had. I know what I'm going to do. I'll tear down the barn I've got, and I'll make a bigger barn. So I can put all the grain in there. Then I'll say to myself, I've plenty of good things. They're stored up for many years. So let's take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. He was just thinking about himself. He had no thought of God at all. He was running his own show, as it would be. A bit like that song, I suppose, with Frank Sinatra, My Way. It was that type of thing in his life. Now, please don't get me wrong. There was nothing wrong with him building the barns. It was quite prudent to do that. It's a good crop. But he did it, or he should do it, under the thought of what God has given him. Of how he's going to use what God has shared with him and God has provided for him. God was nowhere in the picture. I wonder sometimes in my life, is God nowhere in my picture? I'm thinking of what my plans are going to be. I know the X, Y, and Z. I'm going to go here, do that and the other. And I forget about God. Is that your experience sometimes too? Instead of putting God first and foremost and asking him to lead us in the way that he wants us to go. You see, we don't own this life, do we? We have no control really over this life. It's not our world. It's God's world. And he is the one who entrusts us to be a steward for him whilst we are here. Whilst we are here to do the things that he wants us to do, to hold on to the things we have, but hold on to them lightly, not hold on them with tight hands as a grip, to have the greed that's there. We are stewards of what God has given to us. Let's use the gifts he gives to us under his control, under his presidency, under his leadership. And when we do so, do something which also this man didn't do. He said he would eat, drink, and be merry, and life light up for many years. He did not think about glorifying God at all. He said, no, God was not no longer in that picture. Why did God put us here on earth? Why are we here? What's the reason that we are here? Is it just to accumulate riches for ourselves and maybe for our families after us? Or is it that we might be objects of the love of God? Knowing God in all his fullness in our lives day by day. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. I have come that you might have life and have it in all its abundance, in all its fullness. What's that? It's not an abundance of things because they wear out. It's having an abundance of being in the presence of God. Of knowing God personally in our lives day by day. Being able to glorify God as a result of that. Each of us needs to have an understanding that eternity is set in our hearts. And as eternity is set in our hearts, where are we going to spend it? In the presence of God or away from him? there is a choice we have to make. This man made the wrong choice. He thought about himself. He did not think about God. He did not think in any shape or form of who God was and of why he was placed on earth in the first place. After all, we read this in James. Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. The psalmist says in Psalm 67, may God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us, that your ways will be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. That is what we are meant to do in terms of our lives, of in eternity, glorifying God in a way, day by day. What is the first, the shorter catechism, it says, what's the first thing? The chief end of man? To enjoy God forever. Starts now. Back in 1974, I realized that for myself. When I realized that what I was looking to do, what I was aiming to do, was actually going to pass away. That I had an understanding that God loved me personally and gave himself for me. And I came into a relationship with God for 49 years now. I've known my Savior. And my life is changed. Because God now lives within me. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. There's nothing of merit within me that God should say to me, I'll choose you rather than you. But God's grace opened my eyes to understand that my life did not consist of the abundance of what I had. We live in a rich country, don't we? Compared to other parts of the world. But those things are going to pass away. I don't know how many cars I've had over the years. I've had quite a few. Because they don't last. They need to be changed every now and again. Clothes, stuff like that. All the abundance of whatever we have will pass away. But the relationship I have with Jesus is forever. It will not pass away. It's something that is forever. Jesus said this, when you come to me, I will never, ever cast you aside. I will hold you by my hand, and you are mine for time and for eternity. In other words, we are holy. We are set apart for God. You see, God does not want us to be happy, necessarily. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be happy too, by the way. But it's more holiness he's after. Don't be afraid of that word holy, by the way. Because when you think of the word holy, we tend to brush away a little bit, step aside. All it means is this, is being set apart for God. It's being part of God's family. It's being part of his kingdom. It's knowing him personally. Can I ask this question this morning? Do you know him personally? Are you relying this morning about coming to church and having a good time this morning, singing songs, hearing a message, reading from the scriptures and hearing some prayers, maybe sharing in communion? Is that what you're relying upon? Or are you relying upon Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you upon a cross? Because that's how we miss out in eternity, if we don't rely upon him. Rely upon all the trappings that are around us. That's not enough. It's a personal relationship that's required. This man didn't understand that. He didn't understand that he needed to have God in his life. And instead, he put it all his direction in the wrong way. All his thoughts and directions were in the wrong place. My friends, this morning, do we have that relationship? I trust we have. If not, well, you don't come to him today. Now, the Bible tells me I was a sinner. That I missed the mark. Whatever I did was never right as far as God was concerned, because I was doing it in my own strength. When I came to the cross and I realized that Jesus died for me and I committed my life to him and he came into my heart, he cleansed me. He made me new. He gave me a hope. He gave me a future. He gave me a direction. And he told me that one day I'm going to be in his presence. That's true for everyone who's a believer. Is that your goal this morning? Is that where you are rich towards God? We're going to come to that in a moment. You see, are we rich towards God? Or are we thinking about just what's on this life here? What did Jesus say in verse 20? You fool. Now, it's not talking about anyone's mental capacity here. It's talking about the person's spirit of discernment. You know, he didn't understand that he was foolish in the sight of God. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 14 and in Psalm 53, the fool in his heart says there is no God. My friends, this morning, there is a God. There's a God with whom each one of us will have to do. One day we will stand before him. We read this, that every knee will bow, everything will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We will stand in God's presence one day. And the question will be, when we stand in his presence, are we rich towards God because Jesus is our Savior? Are we relying upon ourselves? Rely upon ourselves. Will we be separated from God for eternity? This man lived as if God didn't exist. God does exist. We need to understand that, because God has set eternity in our hearts. How often we look in the wrong direction. Leo Tolstoy wrote a story about a successful peasant farmer who was satisfied, who was not actually satisfied with his lot. He wanted more of everything. One day he received a novel offer. For £1,000, he could buy all the land he could walk around in a day. The only catch in the deal was this. He had to be back at the starting point by sunset. So, the next morning, he started out very early in the morning and he walked at a fast pace. By midday, he was very tired, but he kept on going. He covered in more and more ground. When it's the afternoon, he realized that his greed had taken him far away from that starting point. So he quickened his pace, and as the sun began to sink slowly in the sky, he began to run. Knowing if he didn't make it back by sunset, the opportunity to become the biggest landowner in all the area would be lost. As the sun began to sink below the horizon, he came within sight of the finish line. Gasping for breath, his heart pounding, he called upon every bit of his strength that was left in his body, and he staggered across the finishing line just as the sun disappeared. He immediately collapsed, blood coming from his mouth, and in a few moments, he was dead. His servants came then, and they dug a grave, 6 foot deep, and 3 foot wide. In the end, that was the land that he got, because he'd missed out on eternity. He misunderstood what it was. The Tolstoy story was called this: how much land does a man need? We need to understand this. Our lives do not consist about the abundance of our possessions. They consist actually in our relationship with God, being rich towards God. And this man was a fool, because he missed out on eternity because of what he had done. He thought he was going to be prosperous. He thought he was going to thrive. He was going to take life easy and be merry. But that very night, his life was going to be demanded from him. That word demanded actually means to, it's required back. Our lives are alone from God. One day they will be required back. One day we'll have to give an account of our lives before God. When we die, it doesn't matter what wealth we've had in this life, we can't take it with us. There are no pockets and shrouds, are there? There's no wallets there. There's no purses that are there. What matters then is, what have we done with Jesus? How close have we walked with him day by day? Have we committed our lives completely to him? And are we the people we're meant to be? Those whose chief end of man is to glorify God. I come to a conclusion. I want to ask a question. Are we going to miss out in eternity? Because we're thinking about this life and all this means? Or instead, are we going to invest for eternity by giving our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing him to come into our hearts, into our lives, and then using what gifts he's given to us, the time, the talents, the money we've given to us, to share with others and to work for the kingdom of God? What if Jesus said this: seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and those things that are necessary will be added to us. It's seeking God first. That's how we don't miss out in eternity, by putting God first in our lives. This man here, God is not in the picture. Maybe that God is always in our picture. That he's first, that he's foremost. After all, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and the gold in every mine. And he says to us, I share it with you. He shares his inheritance with us. And he wants us to use our gifts, our talents, and all our lives for his honour and for his service. Are we doing that? Am I doing that? I'm not pointing the finger at anybody here, thinking about myself. How often do I put him first? Or am I really just thinking about myself? Friends, this morning, let's put Jesus first. Let's put God first. Life is too short to miss out on eternity. In eternity, there are riches at God's right hand beyond our imagination. And they're going to be shared with us because we are co-heirs with Jesus. May we be the ones receiving that inheritance that never rust, where moth will never destroy it, because it's stored in God's presence. Let it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. And let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this story about this man who was foolish. He thought he could depend upon himself and be rich. He thought he could store up things which would last for many years to come. But that night you said to him, you fool, your life will be demanded from you. Father, we pray, help us not to be foolish. Help us, Lord, we pray, to be those that hand our lives over to you. For after all, you gave them to us in the first place. It's only your due. And Father, we ask, Lord, we might live not just for you each day, but with you each day. May we know your power, your presence. May you come into our hearts in all your fullness. Help us, Lord, we pray, to not miss out in eternity, but to know you, not just for time, but forevermore. To know when our sins are forgiven, we have a home in heaven, and be welcomed into your presence with open arms. Hearing those words, well done, you good, you faithful servant. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord watch over you. May his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord look kindly on you. May the Lord give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with us all now and forevermore. Amen.